Good afternoon, everyone. Jeff Horchak back in this afternoon filling in for Jordy Hultberg on the Jordy Hultberg Show from 2 to 4. We are glad you could be with us. Jordy will be back hopefully next week. He's had to take care of some issues with his family, but we wish him the best. But I'm glad to be back on 103.7 The Game this afternoon. Another big day to talk football. Of course, the NFL draft kicked off yesterday, and the first round went down. Getting ready for the second and third rounds today. Clint Domain back on the board. It's always good to be back with Clint, the main man here at The Game, keeping it rolling. I've got a lot to talk about. Of course, the first round of the NFL draft went down, and there were some surprises in the draft, which I think, you know, some people are like, wow, why'd this guy go here? Why'd this guy not go here? It happens every year, and we saw it yesterday, and I got a chance to watch a good bit of the first round before I had to hit the sack and go to bed because I had to get up early to co-anchor Postbot 2 this morning. And I need to get a DVR player so that I can record sports. And I've been saying that for weeks and months, but I really need to do it because I missed the latter half of the draft. But I was able to catch up in the morning via social media. A lot to talk about when it comes to that. One LSU Tiger did go very high, which we expected. The other didn't go. We'll talk about that. We've got some guests lined up as well for you today. Because this is NFL draft week, that's the main topic of discussion. Even though there's a lot going on in the world of sports with pro boxing in Lafayette at the Cajun Dome Saturday night, you got Cajun baseball and softball in action, LSU baseball. But we're going to talk draft because that's what most people have on their mind right now. And there is golf, too, the Zurich Classic this weekend in New Orleans. So there's a lot going on sports-wise, but we know the draft is a big topic of discussion because we're in South Louisiana. Who doesn't love football down here? They love talking football. So we're going to talk some football with you. At 2:30, we're going to chat with Bill Bentley. Now, you Cajun football fans, you know who Bill Bentley is. Dwight Bill Bentley, the pride of Pahokee, Florida. I covered the Cajuns for a number of years at KLFY Sports and also here at The Game. And Bill was one of my favorite guys to cover because he had swag. You got to have swag if you're going to be a successful corner because you're out on an island a lot of times. If you don't have any swag, it's not going to work. And Bill had swag, and that's what I liked about him. But he's a good guy, too, and He had a great success story in his football career because if you know much about Bill's background, he was always one of those guys that kind of had a chip on his shoulder because he didn't seem to get the respect that he should have deserved. Well, you know what? He accomplished a lot in his football career. Now he's out of football. He's in his professional life. But we're going to talk a little bit about what it was like for him on draft day because I do remember doing a phone interview with him for KLFY Sports the day he got drafted. He was a third-round draft pick of the Detroit Lions in the 2012 draft. I went to the Senior Bowl practices that year. He and Ladarius Green both were in Mobile. Got to cover both of them in their practices, shoot video, get interviews with them. It was a big deal because it was the first time in years that the Cajuns had anybody at the Senior Bowl. They had two that year. Both got drafted. Dwight was a third-round pick of the Lions that year, and I think Ladarius was a fourth-round pick of the Chargers. So they both went and had nice careers. Ladarius' career ended because of concussions. He got that big deal to go to Pittsburgh and looked like he was going to be their future star tight end for them and just couldn't stay healthy because of concussions. So he's out of football, and Bill's out too. But they both, you know, were able to make a decent living, play, live the dream, play at that level. Both were drafted, went to the Senior Bowl. So they both got to experience what a lot of young men never get a chance to experience. So we're going to talk with Bill about his experience going into the draft, draft day, and then his life in the NFL. He played about 3 or 4 years with Detroit and is a good guy. Always, he comes back to Lafayette a lot. He comes back for spring games, still has some friends here. So it's been a while since I've talked to Bill, but I'm looking forward to chatting with him and seeing where he is in his life as well and just talk about that special day for him and his family and all the Raging Cajun Nation. What is it like to be a draft pick on that day? And every guy has his own story, but we'll get Bill's coming up in a few minutes. We're also going to talk, like I said, more about the first round of the draft, which went down yesterday. There was no surprise with the first pick. Kyler Murray, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback out of Oklahoma, went number one. He's the smallest, physically smallest quarterback to ever go number one. And we've never seen a guy at 5'10", 5'10 and a half go that high. But you know what? It's a new time. It's a new game. And we're seeing something new. We'll see how he fares in Arizona. Question is now, what do the Cardinals do with Josh Rosen? Do they trade him or do they keep him and have those two guys battled out? My bet is they're going to trade him, but the question is to who and when. Maybe that'll happen today. You still got a lot of good quarterbacks on the board. You know, you had You had Kyler go number one. You had Daniel Jones go number six out of Duke to the Giants, which was a shocker because the Giants passed on Haskins, and Haskins went later to Washington, I think, at pick what, 15. So you had three quarterbacks go in that that first round. But Jones is the one that really shocked everybody. He went number six. Hey, it's all about who likes you. All it takes is one team to fall in love with you, and that's it. And that's what happened with Daniel Jones. So it'll be a few years before you can tell if these were good draft picks and if these guys pan out. You can sit here all day long until you're blue in the face and say, they should have taken this guy. Just wait and see. Let everything play itself out. Then 3-4 years down the road, you can really make that decision. We're talking about LSU. Devin White, stud linebacker for the Tigers out of North Louisiana, went to Tampa at number 5. No surprise there. We kind of felt he was going to be a top 5, top 10 pick, and he went to Tampa. Unfortunately, the Saints have to face him twice a year now, so that's going to be a bummer. But, hey, can't blame Tampa Bay for drafting him because he is quite a talent. I think he's going to be a very good player. We're going to hear from Devin White. We've got a few clips from him on going to Tampa and then also what stood out to him about Bruce Arians, his new head coach, and then comparisons that you're hearing to Ray Lewis, which I hadn't heard that comparison. But, hey, if you're going to compare a guy to a stud linebacker on the field, Ray Lewis would definitely be one you would like because he was one of the best ever. Roamed the sidelines for Baltimore, got a chance to see him win his Super Bowl, his last one in New Orleans, and he was quite the talent on the field. So we're going to talk more about Devin and getting drafted by Tampa, and just much more when it comes to the draft. Also, we're going to be joined at the 3 o'clock hour by Mike Nabors. We had him on 2 days ago to talk about the draft. We'll get his take more on the draft after round one and what's going to happen today in rounds 2 and 3 and where he thinks the Saints will go with that second-round pick. Because they have a later second-round pick, did not have a first-round pick. They didn't make any trades yesterday to move back into the first round. We'll see if they make any trades today to move up in the second round or they just stay put and take a player. My question for the listeners out there this afternoon on this great Friday afternoon as we get set for a great weekend of weather, Festival International continues. It's going to be a great weekend. My question for the listeners out there this afternoon, where do the Saints go with that pick? If they stay at that pick, Clint, it's what, 67th pick, I think? 62nd.
62nd, there 62nd. We go.
Okay, it's a 62nd pick. So it's later in the second round. I want to hear from the listeners out there, what do you think the Saints do with that pick? What position do they go with? Do they gamble and go for a quarterback? There's still some quarterbacks out there on the clock. Drew Locke, Will Greer, still some good-looking quarterbacks that could be guys who could potentially be franchise quarterbacks. Do they pull the trigger on one of those guys if they're there, or do they go for a safe pick and maybe go for an offensive lineman?
I think they got to go with the safe pick here, Jeff, because of the fact that I think the offensive line is definitely the position of the biggest need.
Okay.
To protect Drew Brees, and also you look at this rest of this draft class. You have some good quarterbacks. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of good quarterbacks, but I feel like we've been through this before in the second or third round picks. Look at what's his name? Garrett Grayson. Where the hell is he? He's on a milk carton somewhere. So I feel like this guy, like whoever they get in the second round, needs to be an impact player because of the fact that you did not, and I have to give a lot of credit for them for not doing this, and that is trade up into that first round. They're going to stay in that second round spot, I feel like, at this point, and say, hey, we're going to go ahead and pick offensive linemen because there's still a lot of those offensive linemen that were picked that are still available that are of really high quality, because you look at that first round, 13 defensive linemen, according to some of the by the numbers I saw, 13 defensive linemen, uh-huh. Not a whole lot of offensive linemen were taken off the board. So that gives the Saints plenty of chances to get probably one of the best offensive linemen in the draft, preferably maybe a center, because again, I think we've talked about it on the show recently, is we're not necessarily sold on Cameron Tom or, you know, a guy like Clapp. We're not sold on those guys yet.
No, I think you're right. You know, they could go for an offensive lineman, or they could possibly go for a defensive lineman or defensive end as well, just, you know, knowing that Sheldon Rankins is going to be out for the beginning of the year. You never know. You're going to have a lot of talent there at that pick at 62, and I'm curious to see where exactly they go with that pick or if they decide to trade out of that spot. We'll see. We'll know in a few hours. Curious to see exactly what happens with that pick. But we want to hear from you. The ARCO Equipment Hotline is open, 337-706-0111. We've got Chad on the line. Chad, welcome to the Jordy Hultberg Show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for taking my call. Man, the Saints had the 66th pick?
62nd.
67. Man, what do you think about – I think they go on wide receiver, offensive lineman. What about that big body receiver from Ole Miss, man?
That's a good point. You got, DJ Metcalf. He's still on the board.
Yeah, DJ Metcalf.
DK Metcalf. Yeah, he's still on the board, too. And, you know, it's funny because I was on with Ben Love last night over the tap room, and he was talking. He said, Jeff, give me you think the guy who's the most overrated player going in the draft. And I told him who I thought maybe was overrated. And then he told me that he thought DK Metcalf was the most overrated player going in the draft, and he didn't get drafted in the first round. So, you know, we'll see.
Right.
Physically, that guy is a freak. I mean, you look at him, he looks
right.
like a bodybuilder. But there's some deficiencies in his game, which I think is why he didn't get drafted in the first round. You had the kid from Arizona State was, I believe, the only wide receiver that got drafted in the first round. He was considered
right.
the best receiver in the draft. But, you know, who knows? I mean, that's what makes the draft fun is you just don't know how
exactly.
these guys are going to pan out till they get drafted, get into a system, and see how they fare. You think the Saints, though, Chad, are going to go for, a receiver or an offensive lineman with that 60-second
yeah,
pick?
Yeah, man, I think they need another receiver besides Thomas to help him out. And Sean Payton likes toys, man. He loves toys. Hey, listen, I have one more thing for you, man. It was a disgrace on what ESPN did last night to old boy from Mississippi State. I mean, his most proudest moment, they bring up his past and show the video of him hitting a girl and stuff. I don't know why ESPN does such stupid things. Like I said, man, the biggest stage of the guy, the most proud moment, and they're going to talk about that for 5 minutes after he got drafted. I just thought that was appalling by ESPN and classes, man. But have a good day, buddy.
You too, Chad. Thanks for the call. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of times when you look at ESPN, they're doing stuff for shock value, and they had video of him apparently involved with a fight when he was in high school, and that plagued him throughout college, and he's overcome it, it sounds like, hadn't gotten any trouble since then, and finally got drafted yesterday. But, you know, it's shock value, and I'm with you. I think, you know, obviously you have to mention a guy's background anytime you're talking about him if he had some run-ins with the law or some issues. But to show that video, I'm not sure that really – what was the point of that? You know, how is that going to help the situation? I think if you mentioned that he had an altercation, then people are going to get the idea. They're going to know. But that's the way they operate. ESPN has become more of a shock value type network than they were in the past. And I agree with you. I'm not sure I would have done that either. I mean, you have to mention it, but you don't have to go to that extent. But they did it, and he got drafted, so he's going to get a chance. He's a first-round draft pick. He's going to get a chance to rectify every mistake that he may have made in the past. And, you know, if you look at a lot of players, a lot of college players that get drafted, they have issues. You know, if you go back into their history, you'll find guys that had issues in high school. I know there was, you know, Devin White had an issue when he was in high school coming out as well. So if you look at a lot of these guys' past, you're going to find things. Now, when you're young, you do stupid things. You make mistakes. It happens, and I think that we're learning that, you know, guys deserve second chances. Now, there comes a limit, obviously, with certain things where, you know, you can't pass on that. But when it comes to physical altercations and stuff like that, you got to see. And he's been in college. The kid from Mississippi State had been in college for 3 or 4 years, so obviously he had a chance to show over a stretch that he can, you know, behave properly and make the right decisions, and hopefully he'll continue to do that and have a great career. I mean, sometimes you have to learn from things. But we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with more sports talk. We're going to chat with Bill Bentley in a few minutes, the former Raging Cajun star corner and former NFL draft pick of the Detroit Lions, get his take on what it was like to be drafted and what was going through his mind leading up to draft day and a whole lot more. This is the Jordy Holberg Show. You got us on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Holtberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Jordy Holtberg Show. I'm Jeff Horchak, filling in for Jordy Holtberg this afternoon. It is good to be with you. We're talking, of course, NFL and NFL draft because rounds 2 and 3 go down today. Round 1 finished up last night from Nashville. And I tell you what, if they weren't having a good time in Nashville, I don't know what having a good time is, because that city looked like it was rocking. It was sold out to that draft. It was packed in downtown Nashville. Really looked like a fun time. I was sitting at home going, man, I'd like to be in Nashville right now. It looked like the city went all out for this draft. And, you know, the Titans have not been in Nashville for a whole lot of years. So it's still a relatively newer NFL city, and they really seem like they bought into the draft and made it a party. And I've heard that Nashville is it's one of the hot cities right now to be in. It's a great city. I remember as a kid, give you a little Nashville story. I got a lot of stories in my past, but I'm going to give you one. I lived in Memphis for 3.5 years, okay? And we used to go travel to Opryland to go to that amusement park, and Opryland's no longer there. They tore it down. I believe they built a mall there. But this is back in the mid-'80s when I was real young. We went to Opryland, and we drove from Memphis to Nashville. I believe it was maybe a three-hour drive. And Nashville was a totally different city then because they didn't have the Titans. They didn't have the hockey team. They were not a pro town. They were just a college town with Vanderbilt and, of course, Country Music City. And now they've got two major professional sports teams, and the city's just exploded. So it's a totally different world now than it was years ago. But I remember as a kid going there, and I haven't been back since, so I'm missing out of here. But I'm looking forward to eventually going to Nashville. And just by watching the draft last night, I could see the city really embraced it. It looked like they were having a great time. And I think it's cool that the draft's moving around different cities. Eventually, I'm sure it'll be in New Orleans. I'm looking forward to that. I think it'd be another great city to host a draft. It used to always be in New York. And they're moving around. I think that's good to give other cities an opportunity to host it. And it also gives those local NFL fans a chance to take part in the draft and see it live in person. It's quite a spectacle, quite an event these days. Like I said earlier, we're going to talk with Bill Bentley here in a few minutes. He's a former Raging Cajun corner. If you remember, he got drafted by the Detroit Lions in the 2012 draft. He was a third-round pick. And then He played about 4 years with Detroit. We're going to talk about what his day was like when he got drafted and kind of leading up to the draft and get his feel since he was a second-day guy going in round three. And he had a really interesting career, and we're going to go back into it. He's from Florida. I don't want to give it all away yet, but we'll talk about his career and how he came up and just how he ended up where he is. Bill is one of those guys who, in my opinion, was an overachiever. He achieved way more than people probably thought, but he was a hard-working guy who loved football, and he was a grinder, and he had passion, and I love people that have passion and drive and that are underdogs that succeed, and I think Bill Bentley was a great example of that, and we'll talk with him about that, but I believe the Cajuns were the only school that gave him a scholarship. He went to a JUCO and then ended up at UL and became a third-round draft pick and really had a great career and was one of my favorite guys to cover during his playing days. So we'll talk with Bill. We're also going to talk with Mike Neighbors a little bit later in the show as well, get his take on the draft. He's CST Saints insider. We had him on a couple days ago. Always fun to talk to and get his take on the Bucs drafting Devin White because he lives in Tampa and covers the Bucs as well, has a blog and a website, so he can give us more insight on the Devin White draft pick. Speaking of Devin White, we've got a couple clips here from Devin after he got drafted. Let's go with the one where he talks about going to Tampa Bay. It's the first clip and kind of his impressions of becoming a Buccaneer.
Hey, I kind of already knew it was going to be Tampa. It's a special place. You know, Coach Litch, he's a great guy. You know, Coach Bruce, he's a great guy. You know, Ty Bowles, he's a great guy. You know, just everybody, man, everybody. Coach Caldwell, he played for 11 years. I mean, it's the perfect fit. You know, I ran the same defense in college, and it's going to be an easy transition. You know, I just got to be ready to go work my butt off.
So it sounds like he knew he was going to Tampa. Sounds like that there was no question that he was going to be a Tampa Bay Buck. So that's good for him because he kind of had an idea coming out of the gate. And I think some guys, especially the guys that are going to be projected to be really high draft picks, kind of know, if they're going to be drafted. They know there's several teams that are probably going to draft him. And that's probably what it was with Devin, is that he knew that Tampa was one of the two or three teams that probably were going to pull the trigger on him. So that's cool. I think it is a great fit for him. It's sad the Saints are going to have to face him twice a year because he's a guy that could end up being a perennial Pro Bowler, be in the league for 15, 16, 17 years and create a lot of havoc. But that's why the Bucs took him at number five. He also talked about Bruce Arians and what stood out to him about Bruce. Bruce is well-respected around the league. He's the new head coach for the Bucs, and here's Devin White on his new head coach.
I'm going to tell you, the thing that I loved about Coach Bruce was not football related. You know, the Glazer family, he told me how they like foundations for kids, and they let him and his wife, you know, they helped them with a foundation as far as, you know, kids that was in foster homes, getting them into, you know, homes with, you know, great people. And I'm all about the kids, man. I respect that. And man, when we was in there talking, like, I didn't get emotional, but it really touched my heart because I love the kids. Like, you know, LSU, I used to go out to the schools in Baton Rouge because I know they was underprivileged, and I used to speak to them and tell them you can make a way and they don't have to be with sports because, you know, me, I was a great academic student. My mind wasn't playing that. You know, I had a great ACT score. I always had a great GPA. So that really stood out about Coach Bruce.
So you can tell Devin White already a huge fan of Bruce Arians. He's a relational guy. From everything I've heard, Arians really connects to the older guys, to the young guys, and he's obviously been known to be a guy that can develop quarterbacks. He worked with Peyton Manning in Indianapolis and, of course, has worked with a number of other quarterbacks and developed them, and that's why the Bucs really wanted him, is to he can work with Jameis Winston, because this may be Jameis's last shot of legitimately being the guy. So they're hoping Bruce Arians can do that. But you can tell Devin White already a huge Bruce Arians fan. And we got one more clip from Devin on comparisons that he's hearing to Ray Lewis. Now, that's pretty lofty goals there, but apparently he's being compared in some talk to Ray Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, those guys was guys that I always looked up to, but to hear it come out of Coach O's mouth and him being around them, I knew I didn't want to let him down. I knew I didn't want to make him look like a fool, you know, just for the sake of the program. But at the end of the day, I wanted more. I wanted to be the best, you know. So that just helped bring even more passion and fire out of me. Like, I don't play with a chip on my shoulder. I know how great I am. I know I serve a great guy, you know, the Lord above. He always blessed me and my family. My grandmother had me in church ever since I was a little bitty baby. And I know that's where my blessings come from. But at the end of the day, I don't like making letting people down.
So that was Devin White talking about Ray Lewis comparisons from Coach O. You know, Coach O was at Miami for a number of years too, and that's when he came in contact with Ray Lewis. And of course, he coached in the NFL as well with the Saints for a while, but he knew Ray Lewis. So apparently that came from Coach O. I didn't realize that was where that came from. So that'll be interesting to see if he lives up to those expectations. But there's a lot of expectations for Devin White, and hopefully he'll live up to them. We'll take a break, come back, talk more sports. You got us on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, and on the app.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Jordy Hultberg Show. Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy this afternoon from 2 to 4. We're talking NFL Draft. And we're having a lot of fun here today. Hopefully you can join in the conversation. 337-706-0111 is the number to call. But joining us now on the ARCO Equipment Hotline is Bill Bentley, the former Raging Cajun corner and former NFL draft pick of the Detroit Lions. I always enjoyed covering Bill. He's one of my favorite players to cover. The pride of Pahokee, Florida. Bill, good afternoon. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, man, how you doing, man? Glad you invited me. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing great, Bill. Man, it's been a while since you and I have talked, but I was telling people earlier on the radio, I'm filling in today, I said, you know, Bill was one of my favorite guys to cover, and you had a great attitude, you had a big smile on your face, and you had that swag, Bill, and you have to have swag to play the position you did. You were a corner, so you have to have that to be effective. Tell me a little bit about that. Was that just your – is that always your demeanor growing up as a kid? You always had that swag, or did you have to develop that?
It developed growing up in Pahokee, Florida. I mean, swagger was just something we carried. It came with confidence. It came with just the ability to make plays. That swagger carry over to so many different things, man. So we just felt like once we had our swagger, everything else would follow behind that swagger, including the confidence.
Yeah, you always seem to have that. And, you know, I think your story is pretty amazing because – a lot of people around here knew you played for the Cajuns. They knew you became a third-round draft pick of the Detroit Lions in 2012. But a lot of people may not know your history of growing up in Pahokee, which is an area that's a very fertile ground for football players. I mean, Ricky Jackson, former Saints Hall of Famer, was from there. Anquan Boldin's from there. So they've produced a lot of great football players, including yourself, out of that area. But many people may not realize that you were part of three state high school championship teams during your 4 years there in Pahokee. But at the same time, you win three state titles, and you don't even get a scholarship. You're at Pahokee High School, three state titles, and you have to go to community college. Explain that. Did that put a chip on your shoulder once you went to Dodge Community College, Dodge City?
It definitely put a chip on my shoulder. We're talking about coming out of the schools where guys get signed to University of Florida, University of Miami, mm-hmm. West Virginia, University of Michigan, Marshall, and the list go on and on. These guys were fine, Mississippi State. So for me to get overlooked because of my size, it just put a chip on my shoulder ingrained in myself that I need to work hard and I need to do the smaller things and work and strengthen my weaknesses. So it did play a chip on my shoulder and it made me who I was. Even now to today in life, I still carry that chip on my shoulder about myself, just with a different manner and a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Bill Bentley, former Raging Cajun star corner and NFL corner. He got drafted by Detroit in the third round in 2012. Now, we go back to that year. You and Ladarius Green were both hot prospects coming out of UL, and the Cajuns hadn't had any players invited to the Senior Bowl in years. And that year, both you guys were invited to the Senior Bowl. I made the trip to Mobile for one of the practices, got a chance to get video of you guys and also interview you. And that was a huge year. You went in the third round of Detroit that year, and I believe Ladarius went in the fourth round of the Chargers. And so mm-hmm. we had two Cajuns get drafted that year, which was huge. And, you know, you just – both you guys were class acts. I mean, I enjoyed covering both of you. You were very humble guys but also very confident. And you kind of started the resurgence of Cajun football and made the New Orleans Bowl that year and then went on, and then they won three other bowl games after that. So it started the winning tradition of Cajun football coming back. But I want you to take me back to that day you got drafted by Detroit in the third round, because I remember I did a phone interview with you for KLFY Sports. I interviewed you on the phone, did a little phone, and I also did one with Ladarius that day. Tell me what was going through your mind, let's say, the night before the draft, because today is day two of the draft, and you got guys sure. that are going to get drafted the second, third round, same slot kind of you were. Well, what was going through your mind mm-hmm. the night before?
I mean, I was nervous. I was excited. I mean, it was just so much going through my body at one time. You know, it was just unbelievable. I mean, it was an amazing feeling. You know, you was about to get the opportunity to live out your dream. And to hear your name called, it was a blessing from God. So, you know, you just was ready to be in that moment of your dream becoming a reality. So it was an amazing time. You know, I was nervous and excited at the same time. It was unbelievable. And I got a chance to experience those things with my mom and my family, you know, and it was amazing. It was just an amazing time.
Yeah, so the draft goes down. So the third round comes up. Now, had you been hearing that you were going to get – I mean, you felt like you were going to be slotted somewhere around the third round. I know, I remember, it seems like they thought you could go as high as even second round and then maybe as low as fifth or sixth round. So you didn't know exactly, but
– No, I kind of – after I left the Senior Bowl, I kind of knew that I would get drafted second and third. I did thought I was going to get drafted second, but it didn't happen, and I went third, mid-third, and it was still an amazing feeling. It was still undeniable. Nobody expected me to be there, like going all the way back to going to God City, you know, from a one-star, two-star recruit, and that didn't have no offers, and to still just hear my name called in the top 100, it was just all blessing from God. I couldn't even, you know, it's like, man, it was remarkable.
We're talking with Dwight Bentley, former Raging Cajun corner, star corner, and Detroit Lion draft pick back in 2012. He was a third-round pick. Now, when you went to Dodge City Community College, you came out, and you only had one scholarship offer after going to JUCO or community college, and that was the Cajuns. So this was it. If you hadn't made it here, that would have been the end of your football career. So was there any pressure on you or not? You just said, I'm going to hit a high and let it fly. They're going to give me a chance, and I'm going to do it.
I mean, we all have pressure on us. Everybody has some type of pressure from each and every day. Mm-hmm. It goes by how you apply it to your life. You know, I'm a big believer in God. You know, I always have faith. My mom is a praying mom. We grew up in the church house. And, you know, I just always kept faith, and I just felt like I had the ability to be there, you know, and the Cajun gave me my opportunity thanks to Hurley Brown and Brian Jenkins and Coach Ricky Bussell for believing in me and giving me that scholarship, mm-hmm. coming in Lafayette at 150 pounds, probably, you know, 150 wow. pounds coming in Lafayette. And it was just, you know, it was amazing. It was an amazing feeling that you can't take away.
No, it was. I mean, even when you were in the NFL, you're playing weight. What were you? What was your heaviest weight in the NFL?
I would say I was up to like 183 in the NFL. Yeah. I had, when I went to pre-draft, it got me up pretty good. I was training down at API down in Pensacola, and I put on a good 15, 20 pounds. Rusty Wick, my senior year, Rusty Wick did an unbelievable job with helping us put on weight with the strength and conditioning program, with the nutritions and all that type of stuff. He did an amazing job. So when Rusty came my senior year, I must have put on like 10 to 15 pounds, and then I added on another 10 or whatnot for the draft, for the combine, and I was pretty solid. I was pretty solid.
You were in great shape, Dwight. What are you doing now? I mean, what now that your football career is done? What are you doing? Because I think people are curious. What's Bill Bentley doing? So what are you doing these days? You still in Florida?
Yes, I am down in Florida. Me and my wife have a business. We have a fashion boutique. It's called Mina Monroe.
Nice.
It's a female clothing boutique that is doing amazing. That the Lord has blessed in our favor. So we some young CEOs, man, ready to blow, ready to be in Neiman Marcus and trying to be big like the Louis Vuittons and all these type of stuff, you know. So that's our goal and our mission. That's where the Lord has led us down our path. As a football, you know, I did my 4 years with Detroit. It was amazing, you know. Battled some injuries with my time, but you know, I'm still blessed. You know, I did more than the average player to do. So I'm still blessed beyond with that, and just now I'm in the fashion world, just trying to figure out how to be more fashionable and how to like spark the world with our creative mind.
So you're living in West Palm Beach area?
No, I'm down in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, Fort Lauderdale. So you're still in South Florida? Yeah, you're a Florida guy.
Yeah, I'm still in South Florida, just 30 minutes away from Palm Beach, not too far away from home.
Yeah, I see you just got married too. Congratulations. I know you mentioned your wife. Congratulations, man. That's awesome. You're in the fashion industry. That's awesome, man. You always had that fashion flair too, even when you were just a college kid,
that,
you know?
Yes, I always had that swagger to me. We command people like Deion Sanders, man, the one that brought that swagger that he installed into that position, you know, from Deion Sanders, man, now his whole uniform away, how he gonna go out and be in his uniform to all those type of things. So we always, you know, the fashion's always been in me, you know, in some type of way of fashion, on the field, off the field. So, I mean, I guess that's the way the Lord led us, and, you know, and we're doing amazing in it.
No, that's awesome, man. I'm really happy for you. I know you get back to Lafayette occasionally. Sometimes there'll be Bill Bentley sightings at spring games and all. You still got some friends here, so it's always good to see you back. Bill, I appreciate the time, my friend. It's always good to talk to you. I know it's been a while, but I may need to hit you up for some fashion advice as well. So, I mean, maybe you can help a brother out.
Hit me up. You're always welcome. You know, me and my wife put these minds together, and we come out with something creative at all times. You know, great minds think alike, and we're a team, you know, so that's what it's all about, Jeff. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be on your show. It was nice hearing from you too, man. You know, Cajun Nation is like my home. Every time I step foot in Lafayette, it's an amazing feeling. I just love the air that people breathe. You know, I had a remarkable time my 4 years there. The city of Lafayette always been great to me. Always did great things, man. And it was just a blessing to be there. From all the way from Pahokee, Florida, to Louisiana, Lafayette. You know, that's many, 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 many miles away. And it's a crazy way I end up there, and I just felt like it was a blessing from the Lord.
It was. It was the right place for you, Bill. You were definitely in the right spot, man, and it was a lot of fun covering you. I always enjoy watching you. I just remember some of those hot, hot Saturday morning practices. I'd go out to Cajun Field, and this was actually before they had the turf. They still had the grass there. And you guys would be out there early in the morning doing practices just to try to beat the heat. And you'd be out there just smiling and grinning and having a good time, man. And we'd be shooting the bull sometimes in the backfield. You know, you'd be back there playing the secondary. You really enjoyed the game, and I could tell that you really enjoyed playing football and the opportunities. And it was great to see a young guy take advantage of every opportunity you got. And you were a baller, Bill. You were a baller, baby.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that, man. I truly appreciate it, man. What it was all about, man. I try to even tell my younger cousin, it's all about the passion and the energy, man. If you go out there and have that passion and that energy, you know, and you go out with that mental focus, you're gonna compete well. And that's all you can ask for a kid to do is compete. Have fun while you compete. You know what I'm saying? Have fun doing the things that you do and smile. Always smile, man. Too much negativity going on in this world. And I'm glad that you can look back and see that I always smile, because that's kind of like how I get through my time, through my days now. You know, I always just try to smile, man, even though, you know what I'm saying, like, even though I'm not playing ball no more, and I still wish I was playing ball sometimes in my life, like, I still reflect on it, but I'm doing great in life, and, like, I just still just always want to just wake up every day and smile, you know. It ain't nothing more important than that.
No, you're right. Everything's about attitude, and your attitude is the key. That's one thing you can control. You can't control a lot of things in life, but one thing you can't control is your attitude going in every day, and you always had a good attitude. And I think that's why you were blessed with the career you did. Bill, I'll let you go, but thanks for the time, man. We'll be hitting you up for some fashion advice soon, so stay tuned.
All right, man. All right, Jeff, man. Thanks for hitting me up, and thanks for having me.
You bet. Have a great weekend. God bless. That's Bill Bentley, former Raging Cajun star corner and Detroit Lion draft pick. Great to talk to Bill and kind of giving his feel of what it was like to be an NFL draft pick and leading up to it. We'll take a break and come back with more sports talk. This is the Jordy Holtberg Show on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Holtberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Jordy Holtberg Show. Jeff Horchek filling in for Jordy this afternoon until 4 o'clock here on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Want to thank Raymond and the guys here at 103.7 for giving me a chance to talk a little sports with you. I miss it. I do news now. I co-anchor Pot Spot 2 in the mornings on KLFY and do some economic development reporting, but I really miss sports and miss talking sports. So it's a treat for me to get to fill in every once in a while and talk some sports with the great sports fans of Acadiana. So thanks for listening. If you'd like to join the conversation, talk a little football, we're talking NFL draft, give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. We just talked with Bill Bentley, the former Raging Cajun corner and NFL draft pick by the Detroit Lions. He went in round three in 2012 and always loved Bill. He was a good guy, worked hard, overachiever, and always had a good attitude and just enjoyed talking to him. It's been a while since I chatted with him, but a good fella. And it sounds like he's having success in the fashion industry now, but not surprised because he always had that swag and fashion sense even when he was a young college student. So congrats to Bill Bentley, and thanks for coming on, Bill. We enjoyed chatting. We're going to talk with Mike Nabors in the 3 o'clock hour. He'll be lined up to talk a little football. He's at a press conference right now, I believe, probably for the Bucks. So he's tied up, but we'll get him on here in about 20, 30 minutes. Speaking of the draft, rounds 2 and 3 continue tonight, and we had round 1 go down yesterday. The number 1 pick, Kyler Murray, the Heisman Trophy quarterback out of Oklahoma, maybe about 5'10.5", not a big guy, but was very, very effective and dynamic this year, leading Oklahoma to the playoffs and, of course, winning the Heisman. So he goes number 1 to Arizona. The question is, where's Josh Rosen heading now? There are some reports now saying that the Miami Dolphins may be making a push or a trade for Josh Rosen. So he may end up going to Miami by the end of the night. We'll see if that holds true. I want to talk a little bit about Daniel Jones. He's been that was probably the biggest surprise of the first round, was the fact that Daniel Jones went number 6 overall at quarterback from Duke to the Giants, and they passed on Haskins out of Ohio State. Their GM apparently, you know, clicked with Cutcliffe, who's the coach at Duke, who also coached Eli at Ole Miss and Peyton at Tennessee, and so they had a connection there, and they felt like that Daniel Jones was the best fit for them. We'll see. We'll see what happens if he ends up being the guy. But I tell you what, people are all mad about the fact that they went with Jones instead of Haskins. Now, I'll tell you this. And we've said this before, and I think most of the listeners out there know this. You're not going to know if a guy's going to be any good till several years down the road. So you have to be patient. That's the thing. And fans don't want to be patient. Everybody just wants to, you know, oh, this and that. You just got to wait and see. You know, take your time, wait and see. Give a guy a shot before you throw him under the bus. I'm a little surprised that Arizona drafted Josh Rosen at number 10 last year, and all of a sudden throws him down the river, says, hey, we want Kyler Murray. We're a Kyler Murray fan now. They, of course, got rid of their coach and hired Cliff Kingsbury, and he has a connection with Kyler because of his Texas connections, and they got all excited about that. But now Josh Rosen is old news, even though he wasn't even given more than a season to prove himself, and he didn't have much around him when he did play. We'll see. Josh Rosen may end up being better than Kyler Murray, and Miami may get the guy, and, you know, who knows? I mean, but back to Daniel Jones, everybody's attacking this guy, saying, he's no good. Listen, one team likes a guy, they're going to go with him. The Giants like Daniel Jones, they're going to go with him. Washington got Haskins. We'll see 3-4 years from now who got the better deal. Here's a soundbite from Daniel Jones, the new New York Giant, on did he expect to go to the Giants?
Coming in, I didn't have a whole lot of expectations. I was just excited for the opportunity to be here. And, however it worked out, I'd be excited. But I'm thrilled to be part of the Giants. I'm looking forward to getting started.
So, he said everything correct. I'm thrilled to be a Giant. I don't even know if he expected to go to the Giants. Now, he knew that Cutcliffe had, obviously, a good relationship with the Mannings, and Eli's the current quarterback. It's hard for me to believe, though, and Clint, you can weigh in on this as well, as competitive as football players are, and Eli Manning may not be the most outspoken guy and the most dynamic speaker when you get him out in public, but I know he has some competitive juices in him as well. It's hard for me to believe that Eli Manning would go to David Cutcliffe. Yeah, you know, Daniel Jones has come to the Manning camp the last few years. We know him. He's a good guy. But, sure, go ahead and draft him to replace me someday. That Eli would just be like, sure. Now, obviously, the GM and the coach, they're the ones that have the end-all, be-all say-so on who they take. And if they like Daniel Jones, which clearly they did, they draft him. But you think Eli was like, sure, bring this guy. He's going to be the perfect replacement for me. Guys don't do that.
I mean, I think he probably would think about that from that perspective because guess what? You know, now he can have somebody else deal with that crappy offensive line that he's been dealing with for the last, like, few years. He doesn't have to worry about, oh, hey, like, I don't have to worry about getting any more concussions more than I already have because it feels like he gets a couple more sacks. He had to peel him off the gridiron. My goodness, the dude has, like, the worst offensive line, and they focus in on getting a quarterback at number six. Like, you sure that Daniel Jones wouldn't have been available at 17? Are you serious right now? Like, they could have gotten, like, a really good defensive player because Josh Allen, probably one of the best players in the draft, bottom line, isn't, like, taken at number six. That blew my mind. But another thing that blew my mind, Jeff, was the fact Greedy Williams left off the board in the first round.
Well, I think, again, all it takes is one team to fall in love with you, and all of a sudden you're in. It doesn't matter where. And if they feel like he's the guy to replace, you know, Eli down the road, then they want to get him at six because they don't want to have a chance of losing him later in the draft. And but it just kills me because, you know, all the prognosticators are always, like, attacking teams for not taking certain guys or passing on guys, and that's great. I mean, there were teams that were getting hammered back when Aaron Rodgers came out of college that you should take Aaron Rodgers number one or take Aaron Rodgers higher than you should. He started slipping in the draft, and, of course, he sat behind Brett Favre for several years, and the same may happen to Daniel Jones. He may sit behind Eli Manning for a couple years until they feel like he's ready or it's time for Eli to go. But, you know, who am I to judge on how good these guys are going to be? I know it creates conversation and talk, and that's what sports talk's about, but my goodness, you know. If that's the case, then Josh Rosen is done. Well, why are we even trading for Josh Rosen? He's clearly a bust. The guy's only played 1 year. We'll take a break. Be back with more sports talk here on the Jordy Holberg Show. Give us a ring on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. We'll be back in a flash.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Holtberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 103.7 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Holtberg.
Hi, everybody. Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy Holtberg this afternoon here on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Jordy should be back next week, but I'm enjoying having a chance to talk a little sports with the great sports fans of Acadiana and some of my guests, as well as Clint Domain. The ARCO Equipment Hotline is open. 337-706-0111 is the number to call to join the conversation. I wanted to mention, too, I failed to mention this earlier, that a basketball legend passed away yesterday. John Havlicek, the former Boston Celtic great, died at the age of 79. He was a Hall of Famer and a Celtic legend. Now, some of our older listeners who are basketball fans will know a lot more about John Havlicek than some of our younger listeners who may not be familiar with him. But he was a great talent, played with some great Celtics teams, won 8 NBA championships, and he was elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame in 1984. He died Thursday at the age of 79. He'd been suffering from Parkinson's disease. And I had heard from people that knew him said he was really a down-to-earth, nice guy. He's just one of the nicest guys that you'd want to meet. And, again, played with some of those legendary Celtics teams. In his career, he averaged 20.8 points, 6.3 rebounds, and 4.8 assists in 16 years with the Celtics. And he was a part of that golden era of Celtics basketball, winning 8 championships. He played alongside guys like Bill Russell, who was arguably one of the greatest players ever. And he's actually he's the Celtics' all-time leading scorer. He had 26,395 points and was named to the All-Star team 13 times and was the 1974 Finals MVP. He was 6'5". He played guard and forward and was just a real workhorse of a player and a blue-collar guy, but a talented player. And in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Sixers and Wilt Chamberlain in 1965, he knocked the ball to a teammate on a Sixers inbounds play, leading the Celtics play-by-play man Johnny Most to yell, "Havlicek steals it! Over to Sam Jones!" And Havlicek stole the ball. It's all over. And of course, the fans mobbed him. But had a tremendous career. John Havlicek, one of the legends in basketball, passing away yesterday at the age of 79. So hate to hear him go, but man, I tell you what a career. And he was a little bit before my time, but I know who he is. I mean, if you're a sports fan, a sports junkie, you're going to know who John Havlicek is, a legend on the hardwood. And just don't see guys like that anymore. It was a different game then, too. The game has changed like all games change, but man, those Celtics teams had some tremendous talent, just a great, great run of championships, and I don't know if we'll ever see that again. I mean, the only team that would come remotely close to that now would be like the Golden State Warriors, although they're still a ways away from being able to reel off that many championships, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to keep their team together with free agency like it is. Looks like Kevin Durant's probably going to be exiting after this season and maybe even some other players on that team, but we'll see. NBA playoffs are going on right now as well. Even though we haven't been talking much about it, we've been focusing so much on the NFL draft because we're right in the middle of that. But the NBA playoffs have been going on, and I've caught some games here and there. I watched Damian Lillard knock down that big three to beat Oklahoma City and in their series. I've watched some of the Warriors and the Clippers, and I watched some of the Spurs the other day, and just hit and miss watching some of the games, and I usually focus more when we get down to the finals, obviously, kind of like with baseball when we get down to the World Series and it becomes nitty-gritty because the season's so long. And I was following the NBA more when the Pelicans were a factor, but they were not a factor clearly this year. The only thing we were talking about was the debacle with Anthony Davis and how that all went down in the Lakers. And hopefully with new management there and probably a new coach very soon, and the draft coming up, they'll be able to bring in some good young talent and get that ship straight and get it sailing again, because this year was kind of a rough year and kind of tough for the fans. And there's been a lot of talk about the history of the NBA and the future of the NBA in New Orleans, and we'll see. I'm hoping that they can get it straight and the Pelicans can be competitive again for the fan base and for the future of the NBA. But there's only so much money to go around, and if you don't win, people are going to start gravitating toward a winner, and if you're not the team that's winning, you may have trouble getting support. So we'll see. Hopefully they'll get it straight, and life will be back to where it needs to be as far as in the winning column for the Pelicans. We're going to go back to the NFL playoffs, and I'm going to open up the phone lines again. The ARCO Equipment Hotline's open, 337-706-0111. And I want to get listeners' take on the first round of the draft. Was there anything in the first round that shocked you? I mean, you're probably going to say, oh, the Giants taking Daniel Jones at 6, but was there anything else that shocked you? Christian Wilkins, the young man who almost knocked Roger Goodell off the stage when he got drafted, I thought that was classic. That was clearly his time to shine, and I really, really, really enjoy watching that. I think a lot of Saints fans were probably hoping that he would knock Goodell completely out when he jumped up and hit him, but didn't happen. It was hilarious. Clint, have you ever seen anything like that? I mean, we've seen guys celebrate and get excited when they get drafted, but I've never seen anything like that.
No, I've never seen anything like that, and that was just amazing. Like, you normally you probably would have expected more from one of the smaller guys.
Yeah.
But this dude's just a big hoss and almost, like, completely dismantled your boy, Roger Goodell. That was amazing.
It was. It was. I'm looking at the slow-mo video now, and it's hilarious. I mean, he is a – what an athlete to be as big as he is and as mobile as he is. Yeah, that tells you, for a defensive tackle, that dude can play, and he got drafted by Miami. They got themselves one heck of a player. He was one of those stud defensive linemen for Clemson this year. They had three – if I'm not mistaken, they had three guys in their defensive line go in the first round last night.
That sounds about right. Because I know they had him, Dexter Lawrence. He was the second pick for the Giants, and then Christian Wilkins. Farrell was one of the.
They had three.
Yeah, three. Farrell was the number three pick that like nobody or four. I think it was number four. Farrell. Nobody saw that one coming either.
No, they had three defensive linemen on their national championship team go in the first round. That tells you where they built that team up front. And, man, and they were phenomenal. I mean, you saw that national championship game. They just dominated Alabama. And you don't see Alabama get dominated up front very often. And they did, but it makes sense. They had three first-round picks on that D-line, and that's impressive. You got to give it to Dabo Swinney. He's done a heck of a job of recruiting over the last four, five, six, 7 years. And, man, he has got a squad. And I'm hearing they got a ton more recruits coming in this year. I mean, of course, you win a championship. That helps. They've won, two in the last 4 years, I believe. So, Clemson's on a run, but man, their defensive line was no joke. Are there any surprises for you? Give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111, and tell us what you think. Were you surprised that Kyler Murray went number one? I mean, that they've been talking about that for weeks, that he was going to be the guy, and he had a really, really flashy pink pinstripe suit that he wore. And I kept thinking, I said, when I saw him wear that suit, I went, he better go number one. If you're wearing a suit like that, you better go number one, baby, with that type of swag and confidence to wear that suit. And he wore it, and he went number one. So more power to him. There's a guy you want to watch for in the draft tonight. He's probably going to go in the second round. He may slip to the third round, but I'd be shocked. Cody Ford, he's a big offensive lineman from Oklahoma. He's actually from Pineville. Grew up in Pineville, played for the Pineville Rebels, and then went to Oklahoma and became a standout. He's probably going to go in the second round tonight. Don't forget that name, Cody Ford. He's a Pineville native. I tell you, I don't know where the Saints are going to go with their 62nd pick, but I think it would be really cool if they drafted Cody Ford, not just because he's from Pineville. Now, hear me out. But because he looks to me, from what I've seen, a guy that could really anchor your line for many years. He looks like a guy that could play, give you a good 12 to 15 years on that line. And we were talking about depth on the line and needing to protect Drew Brees. Cody Ford was a four-time Big 12 champ at Oklahoma, won four Big 12 championships. He was a 2018 Joe Moore Award winner, and he is a big, nasty offensive lineman. I like this kid, and he just happens to be from Pineville, which doesn't hurt. But really hope to see where he – I'm curious to see where he goes. But the Saints, man, they need to look at Cody Ford because I think he would be a nice addition to that O-line. You know much about Cody, Clint?
I don't know a whole lot about him, but Cody Ford is a guy. I believe he's a center guard. He wind up being one of those kind of – I think a lot like an Andrus Pete possibly. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, that would definitely fill a need. – I talked about it earlier, the fact that I feel like their center position is the one that's the most suspect on that offensive line. And, of course, Teron Armstead, you don't know what you're going to get out of him if you're going to be able to get him for a full 16 games. I think it's a huge step in the right direction if we're talking about getting things done and finally kind of shoring up that offensive line need with a guy like that in the second round, because I'm surprised he didn't go in the first. I feel like this guy definitely has the talent to have gone in the first round, but then again, this draft was weird.
Yeah, a lot of people thought Cody would be a first-round pick, but he didn't. So he's a really talented guy that's there in the second round. Someone's going to get a really good football player at that position if he's still there, whoever takes him. I don't think he's going to last very long in the second round. I think someone's going to nab him quick. But if he's still there at 62, I would love for the Saints to take a serious look at him, because I think he's a guy that could really give them some help on that line, and could be a guy, like I said, that could be there for many years and anchor that line. And they've had injury issues with Andrus Pete, so you know, to have a guy like him would be really nice. And I think he's a player that could come right in and help you immediately, because he went all 4 years to Oklahoma, so he's an experienced guy. He's ready to come in and play a little football. We're going to talk to George Faust in a few minutes as well. I'm hearing that the King, George Faust, will be calling in a few minutes to talk as well. So we're going to have Mike Neighbors.
The King
Neighbors,
made time to come on?
The King made time. We're going to have George Faust and Mike Neighbors both on in the next 45 minutes. I tell you what, it's going to be one heck of a show with those two guys. So looking forward to talking to George, and also Mike Neighbors will talk some NFL with us. There's so much to talk about. It's such a great day to host a sports talk show because there's so much to talk about. I mean, we've got the Zurich Classic this weekend. You've got pro boxing in the Cajun Dome. You got Festival International. You got the NFL Draft kicking in gear, and round two starts tonight. You got rounds two and three. You got the Saints with the pick in the second round. It'll be fun to see what they do. You've got NBA playoffs. You've got Cajun baseball playing some ball. You got LSU baseball, Cajun softball. So much going on in the world of sports. You got this charity ping pong event coming up that Kevin Falk's putting on for his football camps and all. I don't know if you've heard about it. Have you heard about that? He's got his coming up.
Yeah, it's like every year, I believe, around this
Fast
time.
Fast Eddies.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to going to that in a few weeks. There's just so much going on right now in the world of sports. You know, you got horse racing as well out of Angelin Downs. That's in season now, too, if you're a
horse
racer.
Horses, you know.
Yeah.
Next week, Kentucky Derby, baby.
So there's so much going on. And we're going to have to play. Right, we got the Kentucky Derby next week, too. That's on the 4th.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
So it's hopping now. We just had the Masters. We just had Tiger win that. There's so much going on. So much excitement. Can't contain myself. We're going to take a break. Come back with more sports talk. This is the Jordy Holtberg Show on 103.7 The Game at 103.7thegame.com.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Holtberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the Jordy Holtberg Show. Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy this afternoon. Now it is time to welcome in the King, the Almighty, the Highness, Your Highness, George the King Faust to the Jordy Holtberg Show. King, how are you?
Doing good. You changed your voice and everything on that one. I feel honored that you changed your voice on that.
Well, you should. You're the King. I mean, come on.
Hey, look, I'm only the King because of the great people that worked with me all these years. That's the only reason I'm the King.
That's very true. You don't ever forget that, George Faust. Don't ever forget that.
I won't. But just remember who got you down here.
You're right.
That's all I'm saying.
It's funny because we're talking with George Faust, longtime sports director in the face of sports in Caleb and Lafayette and Acadiana. It's really funny because you brought me down here, and then I brought Gerald down here. So it was like a pipeline of energy and sports fanatics. And now Gerald's become, you know, his own brand. I mean, he talks food,
right.
Music, and you know, it's hard to get a hold of now because he's so popular. But you know, hey, you know,
but yeah, sure enough.
But it's interesting because it's how that pipeline. I don't know if people know the pipeline. You were here first, and you lured me to come here, and then we lured Gerald to come here now. We're all one big happy family.
People don't know that.
No, we're one big happy family.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So. It's been a lot of fun, though. It's been a lot of fun. George, I got to ask you. The NFL draft rolls on tonight. You got rounds two and three. We saw what happened in the first round yesterday, and there were a few surprises. I think the Jones kid going to the Giants at 6 was a surprise. But I want to ask you this because you have a connection to the Mannings because you obviously went to Ole Miss with Cooper, and you got to rub shoulders with the Mannings early years. I got to ask you this. It's hard for me to believe, even though the Giants had a connection with Cutcliffe and the Mannings know Cutcliffe because he coached Eli and Peyton and now Daniel Jones, now he's the head coach at Duke, that Eli would have said, sure, bring in Daniel Jones. He's the guy to replace me. Competitive athletes don't want to find their replacement. So what's your take on that?
You know, it's interesting because I think they probably went to Eli and asked him, you know, what do you think of this guy? With regards to like how Coach Cut handles quarterbacks, because you know, I still believe this, that the only reason Ole Miss got Eli was because Cutcliffe was the head coach and was going to coach Eli up. You know,
right?
Peyton had
you know, gone to Tennessee, and Cutcliffe was the offensive coordinator at Tennessee under Philip Fulmer. And I just think that situation bred the fact that, you know, Cutcliffe was going to get Eli wherever he was. Mm-hmm. Eli, Coach Cut could have been at Vandy, and Eli was going to Vandy because of the relationship between Peyton and Coach Cut and Coach Matt. I love the story that that Peyton always tells. Is like, hey, you know, he brought up Archie into the players meeting, the quarterback meeting, and he's thinking, Coach Cut is thinking that, hey, yeah, I'm gonna get Archie to kind of help guide Peyton and, right, and coach up our quarterbacks. And he looks over, Coach Cut looks over at Peyton, and I mean at Archie, and Archie's asleep on the couch snoring, and he's like, wait, so Archie was a dad when it came to that, but I do think that they discuss it. I think they're, whether they talk to Eli or not, I don't know, but I think there's probably a familiarity, so
yeah,
to speak, with the fact that Coach Cut coached Eli, Coach Cut coached Peyton, Coach Peyton. You know, they made the parallel that, you know, he was a camp counselor at the Manning Passing Academy. So, I mean, I could see Eli saying, yeah, this guy's, he's got talent, but hey, I want to be playing, because I heard that today. Eli said he wants to be playing through 2020, you know. So I think that's definitely a possibility.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I just think he's like, yeah, I'll guide him along, because maybe he doesn't feel threatened by him because he had such mediocre numbers at Duke, you know. And so Eli's like, I'm still better than this guy, so I'm not worried about him, and I can bring him along. And then 2021, we'll see what happens. But it's quite the pick, though, there, man. That was quite the interesting pick at that position. I know how you feel, because we've been texting back and forth all week,
uh-huh,
and I know how you feel about Dwayne Haskins, but I actually think that would have been a better pick. I think he's going to be a better quarterback in the NFL, but that's just my thing. I know you don't think that, but we can discuss that, too.
Well, I think, you know, I everybody in the national media was like, these guys must be crazy to pass on Haskins for Daniel Jones. And, again, I've always said, when it comes to quarterbacks, it takes a while to just figure out if a guy is going to be good or not. I mean, the Cardinals already made a decision that Josh Rosen is garbage and we're done with him, so we're going to draft Kyler Murray. And it looks like they're going to ship Rosen out maybe to Miami, and then they'll move on with Murray after 1 year. And people are crucifying the Giants for drafting Daniel Jones ahead of Haskins, and then Haskins falls to Washington. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know who's going to be good. You got to wait. I mean, quarterback position it's not fair to any of those guys to sit there and to crown them either a great quarterback or not, because none of them have done anything.
I agree. Right. Well, here's the knock on Haskins is the fact that he only played 1 year of competitive, you know, as a starter. He's only got that 1 year at Ohio State. And whether or not he can sustain that over a long period of time, I personally think he can. I think that's a good kind of barometer,
right,
of playing in the Big Ten, and that level of competition. It's much better than anything Duke put out there. I love Coach Cut. I worked for Coach Cut at Ole Miss. I'm not saying that I don't like him, but I'm just saying that Duke's schedule doesn't even compare to Ohio State's. And you can't argue that. There's no way. So in that regard, I think Haskins has a little better resume if you're going strictly off of resumes. Now, there's an interesting point that a guy you and I both know brought up, and we text him all the time,
mm-hmm,
and it was Josh Rosen to the Saints.
Right.
That would be an interesting, just to throw that out there for you, Jeff. What do you think of that?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't be like, wow. I mean, they obviously, the Saints are a team that everybody knows is looking for another quarterback to be the heir apparent to Drew Brees at some point. For a while there last year, a lot of people felt Teddy Bridgewater was the guy. That's why they brought him in. I never was fully convinced that Teddy Bridgewater was the guy, but I thought he was an insurance policy that if Drew gets hurt, He can come in and right. get you through a few games, which I still think is the case for this year. But the thing about Teddy Bridgewater is he's not going to continue to sit back and be a backup for many more years. And if he doesn't get a chance at some point to be the guy here, he's going to roll somewhere else. I mean, he had a chance to go to Miami, and he decided to come back to New Orleans and pass that up. So you're only the window for Teddy Bridgewater is only going to be open so long. So, you right. know, if you draft a quarterback, let's say they decide to pull the trigger on a quarterback today or tomorrow or sometime in the next couple of days, then it may make you think, okay, this is the last year for Teddy. We bring in the rookie, and then next year Teddy moves on, and, you know, we develop a guy behind Drew for a couple of years and let him go. I don't know what they're thinking, and I don't know what Peyton and Loomis are thinking. Nobody does. But at some point, I mean, Drew Brees is not immortal. At some point, you're going to have to replace him, you know, and you got to have a guy. And I don't. Maybe Bridgewater is the guy, but I'm starting to think more and more he's not the guy. And so where is the guy? Is he a guy like Josh Rosen you could trade for to get and bring in, or is it a draft pick? I mean, at some point, unless there's a free agent that they're honing in on, but do you see any free agent quarterbacks coming up in the next few years that you think could be the heir apparent to Drew Brees? I don't.
No. I, that's an interesting idea, though, if the Saints could figure out a way to get Josh Rosen. I mean, The Cardinals. I mean, I guess you have to take Kyler Murray at that spot because, you know, if you don't, everybody's going to laugh at you. You know, right. I can't believe you didn't take him. You know, but I mean, that is the lack of confidence in a quarterback you've had for one season, and you didn't give him the opportunity. It's just the Cardinals crack me up, man. I don't understand how they run their organization. I understand that, you know, you have this number one pick, but I don't know.
Well, I don't think they know what they're doing. I think they're lost as a duck out of water. Hey, George, thanks for the time, buddy. Take care.
Yep.
All right, George Faust from KLFY Sports right here on the Jordy Holbrook Show. We'll take a break, come back, and talk more football with Mike Neighbors, CST Saints Insider. You got us on 103.7 The Game.
Play cards with a guy whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Holtberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Jordy Holtberg Show. Jeff Horchek filling in for Jordy today, beyond till 4 o'clock here in the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. The ARCO Equipment Hotline is open. We're going to talk now some more NFL draft and football with our good friend Mike Neighbors, or CST Saints Insider. We had him on a couple nights ago before the draft, and now we've had one round go down. We're getting ready for rounds 2 and 3. Mike, welcome back to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Good to be back with you, my friend. How are you?
Doing great. Let me ask you how it's been for you. You're in Tampa. I know you've been covering the Bucs, and yesterday they went ahead and drafted Devin White, the star linebacker, to LSU with that fifth pick. And I tell you what, I think it's a can't-miss pick. And are they feeling the same about it in Tampa right now?
He just had his press conference. I just did a one-on-one with him for my Bucs site, pewterpirates.com, shameless plug. But he's exceptional. I mean, he is a breath of fresh air, much like Bruce Arians is here in Tampa. And, you know, answered every question, seemed very excited. I love when he jumped on the conference call last night with the media, and his first thing he said was, hey, I'll stay as long as you want me, guys, which is probably not the thing the PR staff wanted to hear. But he's saying all the right things. He's mature beyond his years. He's obviously a leader, and he's a hell of a player. And I think it's a great pick for the Bucs.
No, I do, too. I think he's going to be a guy that can really be one of their mainstays on their defense for many years. Unfortunately, the Saints are going to have to face him twice a year, which is not a good thing because that could create a lot of havoc for the Saints' offense. But that's how the NFC South is. There's so many good offenses and quarterbacks. You got to have a defense if you're going to be effective. Let me ask you a little bit about the draft tonight. We completed round one. There were some surprises. Obviously, the biggest was probably the Giants picking Daniel Jones, the quarterback out of Duke, with that sixth pick and pass on Haskins. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I thought the play of the day was the big lineman for the Clemson Tigers, Christian Wilkins, almost KOing Roger Goodell when he got drafted by Miami. I think Saints fans in the Houdat Nation were hoping he would just knock him completely out, but he didn't.
Yeah, no matter what uniform he plays in, maybe they'll sell his jersey in the Saints at headquarters if that would happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me the Raiders pick what many felt like was the worst of the three defensive linemen. And you go back to Devin White, that really opened things up for the Bucs and opened up the draft. And going to be scooped up by the Raiders. So, yeah, those Clemson guys had an impact with Goodell and really a lot of the maneuvering in the draft, too.
Yeah, like three defensive linemen from Clemson went in the first round. No wonder they dominated Alabama in the national championship game this year with those studs up front. That they really anchored that team. So you got Daniel Jones going to the Giants at six, and everybody seems to be bent out of shape about the fact they passed on Haskins. And I was talking earlier with George Faust about the Cutcliffe connection with Jones and the Mannings and how that may have played a part in them going with Jones and feeling comfortable with him. But it takes several years to see if a quarterback's going to be developed or not. So we don't know how Kyler Murray's going to be. We don't know how good Jones is going to be or Haskins or any of these quarterbacks that are going to get drafted. Why so much outrage for that? Is just because he played at Duke and he just didn't play the competition that Haskins did? I don't understand why people are so mad about this.
I think it's because he wasn't a sure first-round pick. They felt like they could have got him later. You know, I give him credit for being passionate and going after their guy, but I think you got to know the draft board, too. And if you think you can get your guy later, you try to acquire picks. I think that was the biggest criticism. You know, you look at the draft over the years. I mean, the Saints have traded – I think 16 different times since Sean Payton's been the head coach, they've been very aggressive. So I love my general managers being aggressive if I'm a fan of a football team. I think the Cowboys could have been a little more aggressive. I mean, the Giants, excuse me, could have been a little more aggressive. But if that's their guy and he turns out to be a star, they're going to look like geniuses.
Exactly. That's the thing. I mean, you got to wait and let them see how these guys turn out and how it plays out before you attack them. It's just every year you've got the prognosticators, oh, that was a bad move. And it's like, you know, let it play out and see. Josh Rosen's still out there. There's talk about the Dolphins maybe making a trade with Arizona for him since the Cardinals drafted Kyler Murray number one. The Saints have the 62nd pick in the draft in the second round tonight, so they've got a pick. What position they go for? I mean, there's still some good quarterbacks on the draft board. There's some great offensive linemen. There's some great defensive linemen. You got receivers. You got a little bit of everything. Corner. I mean, they could go really any direction with that pick, or they could trade it.
I want to get wide receiver if they can. I mean, I know you go for the best available player a lot of the times. I think they got to get help from Michael Thomas, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, they have Jared Cook bringing him in as a tight end. But Michael Thomas, it's amazing what he did a year ago without much help. And I also wouldn't be surprised if the Saints, you know, kind of what I was talking about earlier, if they feel like they can get their guy later and they need picks, well, they trade that second-round pick, maybe get two picks in the second round. Or since they don't have a third or fourth-round pick, they jump in those rounds. So that's kind of my prediction. I got a feeling Sean Payton's going to wheel and deal a little bit and get some more picks with that second rounder maybe.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility too because there's going to be so many good players still available in the second, third, fourth, fifth rounds that you get an extra pick or two out of that, you get extra players. And they really need depth at certain positions. And also, that, like you said, they could use another guy to come right in and take the heat off of Michael Thomas. There's an interesting kid that's out there as well, Cody Ford, a big tackle from Oklahoma that's actually from Pineville. A lot of people thought Pineville, Louisiana, right outside of Alexandria, a lot of people thought he was going to go in the first round. He's still there. He was a four-time Big 12 champ at Oklahoma. He's a guy that I think if he continues to slip, maybe the Saints need to look at because he could give us some real good depth on that line.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to Devin White. A lot of people in Tampa, they don't dislike Devin White, but they wanted to see the Bucs pick a defensive lineman because there's so many great defensive linemen. But on the flip side, there's not a lot of Devin Whites. There's not a lot of linebackers. This is such a heavy defensive line draft. I think that's going to help potentially the Saints because, I mean, it's so deep. They don't have a first-round pick, but right, if they want a good defensive lineman, it may fall in their laps at 62. But I really feel like when you don't have a lot of picks, you just try to get more unless you're really in love with the player that comes to you. But, yeah, there's a lot of talent. I mean, you know, you got Greedy Williams coming in from Louisiana State still. So, to me, there's a lot of talent on the board, and that's a good thing for the Saints right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of options that could go. It'll be interesting. It could be wheel and deal day for them and maybe some other teams to just manage to get in position to get more picks. What do you think – If there's one guy on the board going into the second round today that you think, if you're a team, you take no matter what position you need, it's a guy that can come in and help any team. Is there a guy that stands out to you? I mean, I don't know how in depth you've looked at the draft and who's left, but is there a guy that just reeks, I got to have him on my team?
You know what? There's a guy by the name of Will Grier who kind of fascinates me. I don't know if I would definitely get him if he's on the board, but to me, he's one of those underrated guys. I mean, you hear all the names of his quarterback draft, but Will Grier, like in Florida,
right,
problems there. Then he went to West Virginia and had some great years. So he's one of those guys. I see him as a sleeper pick in terms of quarterback play. It'll be interesting for me to see if he goes in day two. He should. His stock has slipped a little bit compared to a lot of guys, but Will Grier kind of fascinates me a little bit.
Yeah, I'm a huge West Virginia fan, as you know, so I would love to see Will Grier end up with a good team as well. I think, and you know him because of his Florida days, obviously covering Florida and all that, that he can play. It's just a matter of getting in the right position at the right time. And there's Drew Lock, the quarterback from Missouri, still there too. There's some really good players out there. The big receiver out of Ole Miss, DK Metcalf. I mean, there's still some potential impact guys out there who could make some noise for some teams.
Yeah, I like DK Metcalf a lot. I mean, I think he'd look great in the Saints uniform, and that's another good thing for the Saints. We talked about it being a deep draft in terms of defensive linemen. It's not a real top-heavy draft for wide receivers. I think a lot of teams felt like they could wait till the second and third round and get their guy there, and that kind of plays in the Saints' hands because I think there's only been one wide receiver drafted, maybe two, but I think there's only one, and that bodes well for the Saints because it's not a great wide receiving class, but it's pretty deep, and you could get some value today for sure.
Right. I think that big receiver out of Arizona State toward the end of the first round was the only one taken. He was considered by many to be the best overall receiver prospects. So we'll see. Should be fun. Hey, Mike, I know you're a busy guy, but thanks again for fitting us in for the second time in 3 days. Appreciate the time, my friend. It's always fun.
Anytime, my friend. No problem.
All right, you take care. That's Mike Nabors, CST Saints Insider. He also has his own website and blog for the Tampa Bay Bucks. He covers the Bucks. He actually lives in Tampa. So anything Saints or Bucks related, Mike Nabors is on it like a tick on a hound dog. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the Jordy Holtberg Show on this Friday. You've got us on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Holtberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, and on the app.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Jordy Holtberg Show right here on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Jeff Horchak filling in for Jordy on this Friday. And I tell you what, it's been one heck of a show. We've had a lot of fun talking some sports. Of course, the NFL draft rolls on tonight, rounds 2 and 3, so you still got more football to watch and talk about, you football junkies out there. I remember back in the day, we talked a couple days ago, Clint, that the draft was – on the weekend. So Saturday, you get up early, get ready to sit down and eat some lunch, snack on some potato chips, drink a few sodas, and just watch football and see where guys are going to get drafted. Now they change it Thursday and Friday. I'm not as big a fan of that, but that was their decision. They felt like they could get more viewers, I guess, by doing that. I'm not sure that's necessarily the case. I haven't seen anything about the ratings on that. Have you? Are they getting better viewership because they moved the draft up to Thursday and Friday? But we're going to check and see. But anyway, that's the decision they've made. So here we are getting ready for rounds 2 and 3. ARDCO Equipment Hotline is open. Number is 337-706-0111. We want to hear what you have to say. We just have a few minutes left for the show, and then Ben Love with Bumper to Bumper Sports will be coming on. Ben's going to be, what, live at the Tap Room? Or not Tap Room. Is he going to be at Rufino's tonight?
Yeah, he's live from Rufino's on the River, 4 to 6 p.m.
Okay, and then you got, what, LSU Baseball?
LSU Baseball will lead right into it. And when you talk about the coverage of the first round, just from ABC's perspective, because friendly reminder, that was on ABC.
Yeah.
And that was a weird broadcast, to say the least. But anyways, 3.7 household rating overnight. Want to be in the top dog and destroying Big Bang Theory and everything else that's going on. That's definitely quite strong when you think about it, considering everything else that was going on last night, especially nationwide. I think everybody else was all out watching the Avengers Endgame movie.
Yeah, that's right. You had the Avengers, and that's going to be packed today and tomorrow all weekend because people were in there to see the first glimpse of that. I mean, so that definitely hurt, yeah.
Yeah, there was like a 9:30. Well, like I said, this is just like the ABC perspective of it. I'm sure that it would be different. But still, like, you got to think about it. You have at least three different venues where you're watching like a broadcast of the NFL draft. ABC, the four-letter network, and then, of course, the NFL Network's broadcast as well. So I'm sure the ratings for it are still good. It's just all about like the preference of how you wanted to watch it. And honestly, I think it was a mistake to watch it on ABC because you kind of, there was no like congruency to it. It was definitely like, oh, hey, now it's time to go to the pick. Like, they didn't realize what was going on as it happened. And then you have Taylor Swift just randomly pop up in there. I was like, okay, get her off my screen, please. This is football, not the Grammys or Good Morning America. Get out of here with that.
Yeah, you know, definitely the channel that it's on, it affects a lot. But you're right, I forgot about the Avengers last night coming out. That definitely probably affected the viewership for the draft.
Don't spoil it, everybody.
Yeah, don't spoil it. If you go see it, don't give it all away on Twitter and Facebook, and because people want to see it. So let's.
And I'm waiting like a week to watch it, basically.
There you go. Well, I've heard some people want to basically just watch all of them back to back to back, but then that's, I guess they call that binge watching. So
yeah,
you're going to have to be there for hours and you have to spend a whole day doing
for
that.
For what it's worth, I mean, you could have done that probably the last week, considering, like, I mean, yeah, like, you could have wanted probably at least getting through a handful of movies a day leading up to it. Because honestly, I mean, the most recent one, Captain Marvel, that one I believe was still in theaters heading into like this week. It was in the theater Sunday, I know that. So yeah, I don't know why, like, I feel like if you wanted to kind of do the binge watch, I would have already finished it by now, basically, is what I'm saying, like before Thursday, because I don't think they have Captain Marvel in theaters anymore. But trust me, in-game, the amount of like show times they have for that this weekend is ridiculous. Today I was like, I just glanced at it. 9:30 in the morning was like one of the first show times, just at the Grand. Mind you, some other movie theaters across the country, they're staying open, Jeff, the entire weekend, from Thursday to Sunday, 24 hours straight, just to make sure everybody possible can get into the movie.
That's insane. I mean, that's really insane.
Yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous, man.
You know what it also sounds like? You hear those kids in colleges, like at Duke, that sit outside the gymnasium the night before in the freezing snow to get a place to sit up front at the game or like front row seat. It's like, really?
For what, Midnight Mania or something?
Yeah, Midnight Mania, and then they sit intense.
I mean that's a different thing, though. It's definitely part of the culture of, like, still, the school. It's dumb, don't get me wrong.
It's freezing outside. I'm not doing it now. If the weather's okay, but give me
But I'm saying, like, you think about it, like, how often, like, you only have, like, four opportunities as a student to probably wind up seeing, like, the Duke Midnight Mania or whatever they call it. I mean, that's a cool, like, little aspect of a sport. I'm not going to lie. I love it.
Well, I tell you, I do. That's one. I have many things on my bucket list, and I don't know if I'm going to get to them all, but I'm going to sure try. I would like to see a Duke-Carolina game at Duke. And
oh, no, that'd be awesome.
You know, one at Carolina, although Duke's gym is much smaller, so it's harder to get tickets to the Duke facility because it's smaller. But either one I'd like, but I would like to go to Duke just because it's one of the great college basketball venues, and the energy in that facility I hear and I see is amazing.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. I think Duke, Fog Allen Fieldhouse is another one I feel like would be on that list just in terms of basketball. But, you know, like I said, we're talking about all the cool stuff going on this weekend and around the Acadiana area. I think I'm going to check off something else on my bucket list that is going to a boxing match.
Yeah, we got the boxing coming
especially
up.
Especially like World Super Series boxing.
That's huge.
Pro grade, that's going to be a great main event. And then you have one of the matches kind of get changed up in the the co-main event of that card getting changed due to injuries. So it's definitely going to be a lot of fun from top to bottom. We know we had our guy on earlier this week to talk about it, Kerry Daigle, and that was really cool.
What time are you going to get there? I mean, because I hear the doors to get your credentials at 5?
Yeah, doors open at 5, basically. Here's the thing. Like, I'm going to be at the Cajuns game covering that.
Yeah.
So hopefully, fingers and toes crossed, everything can go right. Cajuns game probably wraps up around 7 because I'm not going to, like, I love boxing. I enjoy it. But here's the thing. Like, it's going to be the undercard. I'm not necessarily concerned as much about the undercard as opposed to, like, your...
When's Progus fighting? That's what I'm
That's the main event. That's the last card. That's probably going to wind up being, like, around, like, 10 o'clock, like 9, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Of course, depending on how long the fights go, because I believe it's 12 rounds.
Right.
And that could wind up taking, like, an hour. Like I said,
you don't have to get there. That, I mean, if you're waiting for that fight, you can get there later. Yeah,
yeah. You'd much rather probably just, like, I'm going to go ahead and just show up around, like, after the Cajuns game wraps up, get the sound from Robichaux, and then we roll over to to Cajun Dome, and that's going to be, like I said, that's going to be a fun night.
Yeah, it should be fun because we don't get pro boxing of that sort
in town.
I don't
think we've ever had the smaller level boxing back when like Bad Chad Broussard and all those guys were in their prime, if you will. But this one feels like it's just a much bigger venue. We've never had anything like this in Lafayette. It's happened in New Orleans a lot in the past, like 50 years or so. But it feels like what we're seeing now, it is amazing, like having this kind of like event come over to the Cajun Dome on a big Saturday.
No, it's definitely something that you don't see very often. You may never see it again, so take advantage. There's still tickets available. You can go to Ticketmaster.com and purchase your tickets to that. But like you said, you got Cajun softball. Is softball is at home, or is it Cajun? Yeah, Cajun to softball.
All of them.
And baseball.
Yeah.
Gee, they're both at home.
Senior weekend for Cajun softball. The team has already won the Sunbelt Conference title. It's a great way to send off three great seniors, Allison DeVille being one of them. Can't wait to check them out this weekend.
And Festival International as well. And that's to talk
that's
about
like the one thing I'm not going to do this weekend, and I'm disappointed in myself about it because that was one of the things that this will be the first year since like I've started working here that I'm not going to Festival, and it's weird because I'm usually like all in on going to Festival, like especially on like Saturday. I was talking with somebody else about this earlier today. Was like Saturday is probably the day, like if I'm going to go, it's that day.
Right.
So because you can wind up going at like middle of the day, let's say like 10, 12 o'clock in the afternoon and leave like 4 or 5 o'clock and feel like you've gotten your fill in. Mm-hmm. You can leave after that and pretty much say, hey, I got my festival experience in. I enjoy Saturday a lot more than Sunday because Sunday like is when things start tapering off.
Right.
Saturday, you got like all the stages just wide, you know what, open, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it's I've been several times, and it's one of the better festivals around, and there's just so much going on. And this is the time of the year when you've got a lot going on because the weather's phenomenal. Some of the best time of the year for weather down here. So got a lot of sports events and festivals going on, and happen to have the boxing in town as well, which is a unique thing that we don't normally get. And there's also you got the Zurich Classic going on in New Orleans this weekend too. So if you're a huge golf fan, you could travel down the road. So there's there's a lot. A lot at your disposal. Anything you want sports-wise is happening, entertainment-wise, this weekend within a couple-hour radius.
Yeah, and then, you're talking about that. I mean, that was – had you seen, they wound up having to, cancel the afternoon tea times yesterday due to all the weather that hit New Orleans?
And they also have the Jazz Fest going on in New Orleans.
I'm sure the New Orleans front office wound up taking the night off and enjoying that.
Yeah, and then you got the Saints with the draft today and tomorrow. So there's a lot happening right now.
There's a lot happening, and, we were talking about the Zurich Classic. They're actually – apparently, I want to find this out – they're going to be making some renovations to it in the not-too-distant future. Like, after the Zurich Classic is over, they're shutting it down for, 6 months to do, massive renovations to it.
Wow, that's awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, you can about imagine how cool it's going to wind up being, after this year, what's going to be going on at the Zurich Classic, and more or less, if you're a golf fan, I mean, you probably wind up wanting to play that. That's just any renovations they'll do to it are probably going to wind up helping out a lot more people to be able to go there and enjoy this great event that goes on every year. Maybe it's enough to convince Tiger to go to the Zurich Classic. Just once.
I remember going to it when it was the Compact Classic, and I saw Phil Mickelson there.
The hefty lefty?
Yep, and I believe KJ Choi won it that year. I was in college. I'm trying to think what year that would have been.
Yeah.
Probably around 2001, 2002, but KJ Choi won it. We saw a lefty out there. It was
nice.
Fun. And it was, of course, it was the Compact Classic at the time, so it's
changed
names and sponsors over the years. But hey.
Just like most everything in New Orleans now except for the Saints. I mean,
yep.
You got the Pelicans, the Jazz, the... The baby cakes were the Zephyrs.
Superdome, Mercedes-Benz.
They just added that on.
Everything changes. Hey, Clint, I had a lot of fun this week hosting a couple shows. Thanks for the time.
Hey, I appreciate you doing this, dude.
No, it was great.
Makes life a lot easier.
You bet. You want to thank Bill Bentley as well as Mike Neighbors also
course.
For being our guest. These guys are awesome.
Hey, what about Faust?
And George Faust, the king of sports in Acadiana. I want to thank him also, all of our listeners and callers. Have yourself a great weekend. Coming up is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. I'm Jeff Horchek saying God bless, take care, and remember to always play fair.